Reading to you from the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, and with the 13th verse. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, friends, I want you to continue to pray. We're not quite sure. It looks like possibly I'm going to have to quit the prison ministry, and I really don't want to, but health-wise, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. Pray for me. Oh, I want to keep on keeping on. You know that. Well, listen, hey, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, play a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee? Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me now to the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes, and let's read from the 4th verse. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. I've labeled this unsuccessful farming. Now, I was born and raised in a wheat and cattle ranch in the Dalles, Oregon. I know what a farmer goes through. I know exactly what it takes. But, you know, this is going to touch somebody's heart, because somebody, maybe me, have been guilty of this. God's great plan to reach the world, and he has a perfect plan. I read in Psalm 126, 5 and 6, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying the sheaves with him. There's a song we used to sing in church, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Those sheaves are precious, precious souls. Otherwise, going and sowing and weeping and reaping. Every reference to spiritual farming is in the Bible. And, excuse me, we read in John 4:35, thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked, where you have not worked for. Others have done hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. You remember me telling you a long time ago, years and years and years ago, I was emptying bedpans in a rest home for $175 a month. And I had introduced a nurse to Christ that worked in that hospital. Also, there was a wonderful Christian woman working in there. And she said, Cecil, didn't God call you to preach? I said, He most assuredly did. She said, well, why aren't you preaching? Well, I said, I don't know any money. I don't know where I can get a church. And she said, Cecil, you know, Corbett needs a church. There's just one little church out there. And they're not reaching anybody. So my wife and I, we went out and we went and knocked on doors and took an inventory. Found out that the town could stand a church, a good gospel preaching church. Well, I remember we rented a big Grange Hall, beautiful place overlooking the Columbia River. And we got everything ready for this Sunday morning service. We had an organ. We had flowers on the stage. A dear friend of mine built me the most beautiful pulpit with a copper cross on the front. And lo and behold, that first year in that church, over 50 people come to trust the Lord. 50 people. That was amazing. Well, you say, well, boy, you must have been a good preacher. No, it had nothing to do with my preaching. Beloved, years before, there was an American Sunday school who used to come out there and teach Sunday school to children. But you see, they never built churches. All they did was have Sunday school class, and they didn't do much soul winning. Well, they left, and we went in there, and we reaped the harvest where I did not work. So I know what this scripture really means. It's exciting. Well, we are all to be sowing and reaping. Now, we are to sow the word of God and reap souls for Christ. Friends, sowing brings a sense of accomplishment. Reaping brings great joy. Well, here's a forecast of failure for two farmers. The sower who would not sow. He observed the wind, but he would not sow. Here stands a sower who will not sow. He won't do it. He has seeds in his hand, but is afraid to drop them in the soil. Now, a harvest awaits if he sows, but he's afraid to do so. Now, the Bible speaks of different kinds of sowing. The sowing of righteous living brings reward. That's why we're to live our lives above reproach. That's right. People look at us, you know, before I was a Christian, man, I used to watch those who claimed to be Christians. Boy, would I pick out their faults. Oh, that guy's a hypocrite. Oh, that guy's a hypocrite. But it tells us in Proverbs 11:18, the wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Listen, I know when I was in the roofing business, I had a big roofing business here in Denver. There were a lot of roofing contractors who would hire Mexicans who were illegal. They'd work them for 3 weeks and wouldn't pay them. And when they were supposed to pay them, they'd call the IC and they'd come down there and they'd deport them and they wouldn't pay them. Now, that's deceptive wages. No, I'm not for working illegals. Oh, no, don't say that. I wished they would all go back to Mexico and become legal and then they could work here. They could pay their dues just like every American do. Do you know out here, hospitals cannot turn them away. But if I went to the hospital, if I didn't have insurance, they'd turn me away. See, that isn't fair. That's not right. That's a different story. But the sowing of material wealth brings abundance. That's what the Bible says. Now, this reluctant sower is immobilized by the wind. You know, the fear of how people react. When you're out witnessing for someone, the devil says, oh, be careful now. Don't talk too much about Jesus. Talk about your church. Talk about your preacher. Talk about your Sunday school. But don't talk about Jesus. Because he's going to get mad and he's going to turn you down. Well, that devil's a dirty, dirty, rotten liar. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also weep generously. You know what I've said? You've heard me say, Christianity is not a place for tight-fisted people. You know, the Lord has always been giving. He expects those of us to give. And I know that sometime, and this was the first lesson I really learned about giving. I'd been a baby Christian, maybe a month and a half. And you heard me say this many times. I always put my dollar in the offering tray when it was sent because I was helping pay the pastor's wages and I was helping missionaries. But we had a pastor's class for young Christians. And my pastor got up there and told us what the Bible said about baptism, about church membership, about the Lord's Supper, and about giving. And man alive, he hit me right between the eyes. He said, the Bible says that we as Christians need to give 10% minimum of all that we make as the God prospers. I said, my aching bacon, you mean to tell me if I make $1,000, next week I've got to give 100? He said, you don't got to, but that's what the Lord asks. And friends, my wife and I, we decided that we would do this. Now, this has been 51 and a half years ago. I have never, never regretted tithing, because that means I'm laying up treasures in heaven where thieves can't enter and steal. Friends, listen, you can't buy favor with God. It's not buying favor with God. It's letting the Lord know where your heart is. Do you know, I know a lot of Christians, call themselves Christians, who never, never, never give to anything. They never give to the poor. They never give to the needy. They never give to Christmas baskets. How in the world can they read the Bible and read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? God, I've said before, has always been on the giving end. And you know, there's a lot of takers. I know a lot of Christian takers. Not givers, they're takers. And I know a lot of preachers that have their hands out. I listen to these TV preachers and evangelists, I get sick and turn them off. All they're after is your money. They don't care how you get to heaven or if you do get to heaven, as long as you give them their money, your money. Now they'll tell you, send $1,000 seed and he'll heal your family. You'll always be prosperous. You'll never be sick. They're liars, total liars out of hell. This prosperity religion is a phony. And boy, there's a lot of it in it. These healers are in it, on it too. Yes, sirree. Does God heal? Amen, amen, and amen. God's healed my body several times. No, God heals if it's according to his will. Now, it may not be according to his will. Don't you remember when Paul had a terrible thorn in the flesh? No one knows what it was. But whatever it was real, real painful. And he sought the Lord three times to heal that. And the Lord said, no, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace. In your weakness, you're going to be strong. Oh, listen, friends. God knows about your hurts tonight. He knows that you're financially in trouble. But if you know him, if you love him, he said, I'll supply all of your needs, not necessarily your greeds. He will supply all your needs through Christ Jesus in glory. Well, the Bible tells us the sowing of material wealth brings abundance. See, Christians know that giving is of God. They ought to know it. I hope they know it. But the sowing of the Word of God results in reaping souls, as we read in Psalm 126, 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying their sheaves with him. You know, I told you about the man that introduced me to Christ 52 years ago. He was a soul winner. He had compassion like no other preacher I ever saw. One time he was pastoring a church over in Kellogg, Idaho, and he asked me to come over and preach a couple of services for him. He wanted to meet with me and see how I was doing. So my wife and I and kids, we went over there. He said, Cecil, there's a Mormon down here. He's an alcoholic. I don't think Mormons drink, but he wasn't a real dyed-in-the-wool Mormon. His wife and children were. So we went over there and the man let us in the house, and Tom introduced him. He is an alcoholic, and the minute he said former alcoholic, his eyes kind of got a little nervous, and I shared my testimony with him. And pretty soon, the man stopped and said, say, Sir Cecil, I don't want to hear any more. You've put down my church. I said, I don't even know where you go to church. I've never mentioned a church, not once. Well, see, what I was preaching was against what he was preaching, what he was taught. So I said, well, this is your house, and so I will honor it. I'll leave. But before I left, I held up both my hands. I said, you see those hands, sir? There's not one drop of blood on them. I have told you exactly what you had to do to get to heaven. You don't want to hear it. And so I left. When Brother Tom came out of the house, you know what he did, friends? He threw himself on the hood of his car and wept. He'd been witnessing to this man. See, he knew what God did for me as an alcoholic. He saved me and delivered me, and that's what he wanted for this man. Well, the man would not come through. See, this reluctant sower is immobilized by the wind. See, there's a fear of how people react. I mean, I'm talking about witnessing, soul winning. You know, one of the things that stands between us witnessing is that we don't think we know enough about the Bible. Friends, I don't know all about this Bible. Shoot, no, nor does any other Bible scholar. No, we don't know, but we know enough. If we're born again, we know enough to know that Jesus will forgive us and save us if we repent of our sin and call upon him. You remember the rich young ruler? He wouldn't come but Jesus because he was wealthy. It didn't say that wealthy men can't get saved. It's pretty hard for them to come to the Lord, but they can be saved. The reaper who would not reap. He that regardeth the clouds shall never reap. This man has sown his seed in spring, and it is time to reap. He stands with his scythe in his hand, but he will not swing it. He's afraid to reap because of the clouds. You know, I used to kid my oldest son. I taught all my sons the roofing business. Every one of them were roofers. And my son, you see, when you do commercial hot roofing, you can't work in the rain. Or if the roof is wet, you can't do it. So in the morning we get up and my son and I out and look at the clouds to see if it's going to be a little rain. He didn't want to go to work. And what did he say? He's afraid to reap because of the clouds. He fears that a storm will destroy his long-awaited crop. His lack of reaping is more deadly than any predicted storm. Well, friends, listen, many clouds keep us from reaping. The fear of what people will say if we reap. The fear of beginning well, but not being able to finish. The fear of God's not coming through to help us reap. Friends, I want you to know, listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. When you're out witnessing, you're not alone. The Lord said, don't worry what you're going to say. I will give you the words. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit does the work. We're just the little vessel that delivers the message. That's all we are, is messenger boys and girls. That's all. Well, many clouds keep us from reaping. The fear of what people will say if we reap. The fear of beginning well but not being able to finish. Listen, God has not given us the spirit of fear. No, he hasn't. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. Listen, let me tell you what you do. The harvest will never come in your life if you don't make a decision, an outright decision, to get on your knees and say, God, I have not been witnessing. I have not tried to lead a soul to Christ. And I know I'm not right with you. You're not right with God if you don't witness. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, we're to be witnesses in Judea and in Jerusalem and all parts of the world. Well, they shall not reap. No sowing, no reaping, no harvest. This wind was lost because of the fear of clouds and wind. Let me ask you, what winds of fear keep you from sowing today? What fearful cloud keeps you from reaping? No harvest of souls for the Savior. How sad. Oh, dear friends, someday you and I are going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for our lives. Not how much money you've made, not what a great professor you were in college, not what a great mother you were, but what have you done for Jesus? That's going to be on your account. You got any souls to lay at the Master's feet? Any sheaves at all? I'm asking you tonight, I'm begging you tonight to ask the Lord to help you. Clouds and winds must not prevent a bountiful harvest, and fear must not keep us from being faithful. Let us go and sow and weep and reap, bring in the harvest. That's what the Lord wants us to do today. If you haven't been soul winning or ever have, I want you to bow your head to me right now. Oh, precious Lord. for that dear brother, that dear sister, who has not been obedient. They've not witnessed. They've not tried to win souls. Get a hold of their hearts tonight, Lord. Bring them to their knees when they say, yes, Lord, I'll try. I'm afraid. I'm timid. But, Lord, give me the courage. In Jesus' name. Now, friend, if you're not saved tonight and you're on the road to a devil's hell, God's trying to get a hold of you tonight. He's calling you. He's knocking at your heart. He's saying, son, daughter, oh, I want you to come and trust me. I want to take you to heaven. I want to give you a mansion that I've prepared for you. Won't you do it? If you'd like to trust Jesus tonight, please bow your head. Please don't pray this if you don't mean it. And this is how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive my sins. Lord, I'm repenting. I'm coming to you, opening my heart in Jesus' name. And then I tell you what, I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. Oh, friend, I don't care where you go to church or what denomination you belong to. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Get on the phone and call me, 303-471-8534. God bless you. Friends, for the past hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I want to thank you for listening. Oh, friends, pray for us when we go to prison next week. We'll have my wife and I have the service with the women. Pray for our health. That will my wife, she's out of the hospital now, and pray we start getting stronger again. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real good.